On today's show, we welcome Tiffany Cromwell, a professional cyclist currently south of France, 20 kilometres from Nice. I'm so excited to have you. Welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Thanks for having me.
It should be a good catch-up. I am looking forward to our chat, but I see you on a bike and you just look lightning fast. Looks like you must just be able to go and go. But for people who haven't yet come across you on their journey, could you tell us a bit about your endurance life?
Yeah, so obviously, I'm a professional cyclist. Bit of a crazy old sport, ride my bike around the world. It's all endurance racing, like Tour de France style is the best way to put it, even though it's not a women's Tour de France. But, you know, I do one-day races, tour racing. So it's anywhere from, like, an 80K race to 160K race, for example, is which we're doing, or time trials are like 10 to 20K. And yeah, about 50 race days a year, and then about 800 hours on the bike during the year between training and racing.
Wow. So you really are like constantly saddling up your beast, ready for riding. 160K, how fast would you do that in? Like roughly?
In around 4 hours, 4 hours 15. Just
wow.
Depends. Like if it's flat, we'll say 4 hours, but I had a couple like hillier ones and then it dragged out a little longer.
Yeah. And where did this all start? Like, you know, if we go all the way back, were you a kid that was always on your bike, or sort of how did that come about?
It's funny, I kinda like fell into the sport. Like I always, you know, growing up in Australia, kicking around on bikes, but nothing serious, not like race bikes. Never even knew what the sport existed. And then it was at school, we did just a basic fitness test and they sent our results to the SA Sports Institute. And then they filter through, do it to quite a few different schools and then like look at a few things and say, oh, okay. For example, for me, I guess, she did a really high beep test. We want to retest just to make sure things are correct. So then we did a day down at SASE with a group of other kids all from different schools around the state. And then from there, I got an invitation to come try cycling. It's like, hey, we think you got the potential. Come out to the Superdrome, which is a velodrome. Have a go, see what you think, and we'll see how you go on a bike. So literally my first thing was, here's a bike, has no brakes. This track with bankings, I think it's like 40-something degrees on the corner. So it's intimidating, to say the least. Go too slow, you slide down. But I did that a couple of times and then went to the lab and did a VO2 max test. And then from there they said, oh, we'd like to invite you to the program. And there was probably about 10 of us all from different schools that did that. And they kind of gave us the basic skills, taught us about cycling. So we started on the track and then slowly moved to the road. And, yeah, the rest is history.
Wow. Do you know, like, a bike with no brakes for starters, like, that's scary. But then just, like, riding a bike around with no brakes would be scary. When you say 40 degrees, we had some, you know, crappy velodrome, I think, is that what you called it? Superdrome. But whatever the name is, we had one of these in Ipswich where I grew up and ended up getting like bulldozed over. People park there now when they go and watch netball. But I remember standing on the side of this coarse little loop thing. It's steep as, like, it's hard to even, you can't even walk on the thing. It's that steep. So the idea of when I heard, because I didn't know what it was for when I first stood there as a kid and someone said, you ride your bike. I remember it just shattering my mind. Like, how could you actually ride your bike on something that steep? It's like, I'll just ride up a wall. That's what it kind of feels like. It's that steep.
That's crazy. It's funny when you get the momentum and you just flow through the corners. Like, it's also a really fun feeling because obviously you get a bit of like those G-forces and, you know, when you get the feeling of the track, it's very fast-paced racing. And also as a young rider, it's one of the best ways to kind of hone your skills, like bunch skills and everything else. But yeah, at first you're like, how on earth do I even get on there?
So that's cool. And it's cool to think that there's people like, you know, cruising around, finding all the fit kids, you know, giving them a chance or giving them a shot to come and, you know, I mean, if they hadn't have done that test, you might have still ended up doing something. But isn't it cool that sparked this whole massive life direction for you?
Completely, you know, it's like when I was, I was about 12, like I couldn't even imagine I'd end up where I am today, you know, racing all over the world, living in the south of France, representing my country at the highest level, yeah, it's pretty crazy when you think back, and it's great that Australia has, you know, is such a big sporting country for starters and does these programs, you know, like it's not only cycling they were identifying kids for, but some of the other sports like beach volleyball, I think it was women's soccer, kayaking, those sorts, you know, various sports where they could look at just certain physiological details and say, okay, there's a chance, the government puts the money behind it, and it creates those pathways. And, you know, I know the SA Sports Institute has been one of the biggest ones around Australia that has been for talent search. But, you know, like I've got teammates from other countries, and for them, they don't even have anything remotely the same. So, yeah, it's pretty cool that Australia's doing that and really giving, you know, Australians the best chance, or the country the best chance to create the best athletes possible, you know.
Real grassroots kind of stuff. And like from your perspective, you know, obviously getting to travel the world, you must be super fit. But, you know, are there other benefits, you know, that you think being an endurance athlete has brought into your life?
Yeah, so many, for sure, because I think, you know, not only the sporting aspect, but it's really built me as a person, I'd say, you know, because it's not an easy sport. Yeah, you know, endurance sports in general, you need a pretty strong head for, because a lot of it is mental. Like, you can have all the physical capabilities in the world, but if you don't have the mental side, then, you know, it can break you down very easy. But so with me, it's kind of taught me to, like, kind of overcome those times when you're in big pain or don't think you can do it. You think the challenge is just way too big, and, you know, that self-talk, and, you know, just trying to, like, think positive and stay focused and all those aspects. So also, like, being very disciplined with life, like, knowing when to say yes, when to say no. Just lots of really, really, really good skills that I know that future career, like, say, if I then changed completely and went to, say, like, a normal 9-to-5 job or something, I'd be able to take so much what I have for my endurance sport into that, just, you know, through what you need to be good at endurance sports. And even, like, teamwork side as well, and, like, understanding all those aspects too. It's taught me things. It's taught me how to see the world, deal with different languages, deal with different cultures. You know, like, it's endless amount of things that the sport's given to me and being an endurance athlete.
Yeah, wow. And that is quite a long, you know, laundry list or a win list, I suppose, to say, for what it has brought into your life. And great to be able to see that you because, you know, you could imagine that as someone who's a pro could imagine leaving, say, sport, because, you know, sport doesn't always last forever, and leaving sport and maybe just missing it so much, and you might miss it too, but it does sound to me like the whole way along you're, you know, gleaning all these learnings and growing that you're now ready to face every challenge that life throws at you with a stronger mind than you might have had the day before and the day before and the day before and so on back. So yeah, what a great way to be looking at it.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty special, the things that I do with this. And yeah, like you say, like, sport eventually does end, and I've got some friends who are top athletes and ones who are also retired, and, you know, there are definitely the big ups and the downs. Like, the highs are crazy high, but the lows are crazy low, and you run this roller coaster, you go through it, and transitions are hard. But it's like, I still believe sport, people with sport in their life or who have had sport in their life, you know, it's just such a great asset or something to have that, you know, can help you in so many areas of life.
Yeah, and I love to think of myself as a person and you know, really drawing, you know, so much inspiration from stories, people like yourself, but as someone that wants to inspire people to get off the couch. You know, I was fit when I was a kid, and then just I wasn't fit. And you realize that, you know, the couch, the lure of the couch, you know, like, as if my clothes are made of Velcro, or it's a magnet drawing me in, Netflix, the remote in my hand. And just to think now, like, I still got a long way to go, a long journey to go for myself, but so many other benefits are coming into my life because I've hopped off the couch and I'm being more active. So many more people I'm meeting, so many experiences that, you know, treasured memories. And I don't care really now what happened in the third season of Breaking Bad. You know, no offense to any Breaking Bad, I loved it myself. But, you know, like, isn't it interesting how fitness can bring just so much magic into your life?
Oh, completely. You know, like, we do talk about that's an issue, problem moment, like, with the couch, or particularly with kids these days, and even grown adults, you know, like, life is so fast-paced, but then people want to be on their phones, they want to be on social media, they want to be watching TV, this, that, but they're forgetting that outside is amazing. Like when I was a kid growing up, we used to go outside, build cubby houses with sticks and everything else, and, or like I said, doing sport. And as you say, like you bring sport into your life. Normally sport is pretty social, but also it can also be very individual too, if that's what you like as well, like that place to get away from your problems, like go for a run and clear your head because of the mental stress that you have from, you know, the day at work and things like that. And yeah, and then discovering these things or going to like do a social sport, like a lot of the team sports, you know, basketball, netball, cricket, football, whatever, you name it. Like you get together, you meet people that you probably would have never met before, and then you learn things about them, opens your eyes to different lifestyles. And yeah, like you say, like has a positive impact on life. And, you know, exercise is known to give you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. So it's got so many positives, and it's like, I don't think there's anything negative that you can look at when it comes to in sport and it being in life.
Yeah, and it's so easy to do. Like, it's kind of like the sense of adventure, and not even just necessarily endurance sports, but the sense of adventure, that's how Easy Thrills was born. You know, it's like, I remember just thinking to myself, I had a big long bucket list, and I just started picking the easiest ones, the ones that I could quickly go and do. I didn't have bucket loads of money. Well, I still don't. I would love to, but, you know, but it was easy enough just to get out and regularly enjoy things. You know, it could just be as simple as popping a pair of shoes on and going for a walk on a trail. You know, go and spot some birds in the trees, or what wildlife might be around, or just enjoy nature. You know, there is just a whole world out there. I'm having to think of that with my kids and put down the iPad. You know, and I tend to find that if I go outside, they'll follow me. So that's been a big thing as well, that my kids have put the screens down more, largely because I am going out more myself.
Yeah, which is really good. And you know, that's obviously, like, if you're a parent, you obviously want to reflect things to your kids and teach them a good habit so then they can bring it through their lives as well. And yeah, like you say, you know, or if you're traveling, it's like the best way to be able to see things, like say put on a pair of shoes, go for a walk, go for a run, you know, explore more than maybe just that small area where you're staying. Or like that's where the bike is amazing, which what I say, you know, like for me, obviously cycling sport, but it's such a great mode of transport. And you know, you don't have to go hard, you can go easy, you can see the sights, but you can explore so far with a bike and like go to a place you wouldn't even think about. You know, like where I'm living down here in the south of France, like there's so many people that live here on the coast, but they don't know half of the amazing places that are hidden in the hills because they just don't leave, or don't leave their usual spots maybe along the coast. And like with me being on my bike, I can go explore, you know, do a few hours and discover these fascinating places. And as you say, it's experience. And I think more people are liking the idea of doing things that are experience based, because you know, like material things these days you can buy, but it's not satisfying all the time. So it's like that. But then the good side of the experiences is stick with the active too if they choose those kind of experiences. So yeah, I think it's really cool. And yeah, particularly, you know, I just say the endurance side of things, it's like with Ironman and those sorts of sports too, which really is like, you know, next level endurance, like ultra endurance marathon stuff like that. Like if you think about the places where they go, it's pretty insane. And again, you know, it's all that being outside, seeing people, getting away from screens, being in nature, and yeah, just
yeah, I like it. And you've seen so much. You've seen so much out of all of the, you know, races that you've done. Does one stand out as a favorite for you?
Races, yeah, I've got a couple favorites. There's one called Strada Bianca in Italy. In Tuscany. It's like, for me, it's the most beautiful race finish of any race. Like whether you are first or last, it doesn't matter. Like, so firstly, the whole area is incredible because it's the rolling hills of Tuscany, but you're going, it's famous for these white gravel roads, which is what Strada Bianca is, white road. So you know, you do sections like that, so it's quite a tactical race, like in terms of skills, but then it's up and down, it's hilly, it's super hard. But the finish is in this big piazza in Siena, in the old town. So you like ride up, it's like super hard, the last K, couple corners, and literally it's like narrow streets, then it just, you turn this right and you just enter the piazza. And you know, normally obviously it's for the tourists, you can't go there by bike or anything, and you go in there and it's just incredible, like all the fans lying there. And that's around, like for me, that has to be one of my favorite races simply because of all the different aspects of it. And then my other favorite one is this one called Flanders, or the Ronde van Vlaanderen. It's one of the biggest one-day classics on the calendar, and it's in Belgium. And I love that one just simply because it's such a big race, such a great atmosphere. It's known for its cobbles. So it's a race where you need tactics, you need skills, you need knowledge, you need luck, you need, you know, you're not necessarily the fastest or strongest rider who wins, but you're one who's got the complete package. And again, it's one of those ones where it's like you're not just riding along and just waiting for the big climb for the day, or just riding along waiting for the sprint. It's got so many other things going on. We need to be switched on from the start. And again, it's got fantastic atmosphere and, you know, everyone's got a good time. But yeah, those two races stand out in terms of races and stuff like that. Not so much the destination, but, you know, the races, they're my two favorite.
Yeah, and cycling's it's such an interesting sport. Like, you know, a couple of people I know are quite into cycling. A friend of mine, a triathlete, used to be a cyclist, and he was saying, like, you don't know who might win, like, any day, because so much strategy comes into it. And even if you could break away from the pack, you know, the pack's going to chase the lead riders down most times. But then you got to, if there's a big pack that breaks away, well, then you have to somehow keep up with them. And then how they slingshot the riders and that tippy elbow. It just seems like such a cool social sport. I'm always just so intrigued just about cycling in general.
Yeah, cycling's a pretty crazy sport, and it's like from the outside you might not realize just how much actually goes on. Like a lot of sports, unless you know them properly, all the details, you know, you might think, oh yeah, you know, they ride along and someone wins. But yeah, as you're explaining, you know, there's so many different things that happen, because obviously first it's a team sport, which a lot of people don't quite understand when it's only one person stands on the podium at the end. But, you know, like, you have your tactics within the team, you have your designated lead rider, but then you might have, that might be plan A, but so often plan A doesn't work, so you go through B, C, D, whatever. And then, so then there's obviously, like, if it's a sprint day or if it's a hill day, or, you know, if it's selective, but then maybe breakaway goes, maybe it gets chased back, maybe it holds out because another team have not timed their chase right to get them back where they want to get them. Yeah, there's a lot that goes on, and, you know, I could talk about it all day of all the ins and outs and the various tactics, but, you know, it could take a while. But, yeah, it's fascinating, and, you know, there's a lot of things. I like to call it combination of chess and poker on wheels, because it's like you need to be smart with your strategy, but you need to keep your cards close to you, but you don't want to bluff to the other teams, or you don't want to show your cards too early. And it's like playing with them and having someone smart on the road who can make those tactics, because as well, like, you have your plan at the start of the day, but obviously racing 15, 20 other teams, that they all have their own other plans, and everybody has the same goal of trying to win. So, okay, how do we go against that? How do we use our strength and our riders versus someone else's strength and riders? And how much stronger you can be with a team versus as an individual as well, unless you've got, on the rare occasion, you've got a few, like, freak riders, per se, as we like to call them, who are just that much stronger and can almost win without a team. But it's becoming harder and harder now as the level keeps increasing. But, yeah, it's a pretty cool sport. And it's good that on the TV, like, you get good commentators that kind of explain it a bit more, so then people at home can kind of get a better understanding. Being like, oh, why is that team just riding on the front? Or, you know, why is this person doing this? But, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And like, when you're not – you know, competing and you're not training, because I'm imagining that does take up a very big portion of your life. What is it that you're getting up to? What do you do for fun, apart from maybe cycling and seeing the sights?
Yeah, I do a lot of things. I really love cafe culture, so I just spend a lot of time at coffee shops and, like, searching. Food and coffee is probably a big thing in my free time. So, yeah, like, searching cool places, doing that, seeing friends and catching up with them, and, like, his shops and stuff. I love to cook, but also I love to cook well. So I enjoy, you know, playing around with ingredients and looking at recipes and searching for really clean food. And so in my downtime, I'm often like maybe playing around with different recipes, like, ah, oh, this works, that works, what can I make? I love to be outside, out in the sun, out on the water. Like, sometimes I'll do other sports, like, say, paddle boarding, or, you know, go out on a boat. And if I can, like, maybe do some water sports, but obviously you need to time that right, because if you're in peak training or a bit too tired, then it can hurt your body a little bit, like, not in the injury, but just in terms of, say, DOMS, you know, like the delayed onset of muscle fatigue and stuff like that. Love to travel. I'm addicted to travel. So obviously when I'm in season, like, it's a bit tricky. Like, I need to actually let myself rest and not be off going somewhere else when I'm not at a race or not traveling somewhere. But
Yeah, it sounds like this. It sounds to me like this lifestyle of cycler and traveling the world really suits you.
Yeah, very much. Like I just love it. Like I'm definitely a free spirit and a bit of like a nomad. Like I've learned to kind of, because obviously when you come to Europe, we have to move from Australia, move from the other side of the world, from our family, from our friends, and kind of create your new world. And it can be really hard, really, really hard. And definitely in the early years it was hard, but I kind of like found my feet and then kind of met a lot of different people and then kind of just really, really enjoyed all aspects of it. And now
And do you have to fuel yourself like really carefully? Like when you think about, like obviously you've got a love for food, and you know, I don't want to take away anything from your time at the coffee shops enjoying many different foods. But do you tackle food in like a nutrition kind of way, or do you work with guiding principles? How do you kind of tackle the nutrition side of things?
yeah, definitely. Like nutrition is definitely a very, very important part of the sport, and doing it right is also very, very important. Like as I say, I love food and everything else, but also a lot of the time, my love of food is, say, going to a restaurant which is kind of like a very wholesome, like green, clean eating, organic type restaurant. Same as a coffee, like coffee's fine because it's not going to hurt you. But then for the case, you're like, oh, so good, I really want that. And then when you're depending what your goals are and what you're focusing on, sometimes you have to be really, really strict because obviously, like, you can't be eating cake all the time if you want to be getting up to clients fast and need to be in peak, physical shape in terms of like the balance of lean muscle mass and not having too much fat on your body, but being like all those factors, all those things that we have to deal with. But I try to stay pretty balanced, but just know when I can be slightly more relaxed versus when I need to really switch on and be really cautious of what I'm eating, making sure I'm getting the correct nutrients, great amount of carbs and protein and everything else that's going to be best for fueling my body. Because at the end of the day, our body's our engine. We like to call ourselves, a Formula One car. So you're not going to put 95 petrol in a Formula One car. You're going to put the best fuel that you can find in that car. And that's basically the same as our body. So if you don't fuel it the right way or with the best ingredients and the best food, then you can't expect to perform at the best level. So over the years, I've kind of learned bit by bit the different things and what's good and what's bad. But, I'm also human and I also have a massive sweet tooth. So then there are times when I can enjoy the good stuff and enjoy like a really nice, rich, hearty meal or a good dessert and things like that. And I'm lucky I've never
Yeah.
had any issues with like, weight and like fluctuations and stuff like that. Some people, they're not quite as lucky, but it's just
What is it?
knowing.
A moment on the hips, forever on the, hang on,
Exactly.
moment on the lips, forever on the hips or something like that. I remember a saying.
It's kind
But
of like,
I think if, sorry, you go on.
I was gonna say, and people are like, oh, you need to train so much, you can eat what you want. I'm like, well, that's kind of true, but if you're looking for the 1-2 percenters, it's not quite like that. Like, you do
Yeah, true.
have to look at
I
things.
see what you're saying. Because I imagine like even 160K ride in my head, I'm like, well, if you do an 160K ride, you can have a donut or whatever it is that you want to have after, treat yourself. But then, you know, if you're treating yourself every day with donuts, you know, it's probably not going to quite work out as well. So it's good to see that you have the discipline there. And like from your perspective, you know, you talked before about, you know, thinking positive. You know, being disciplined, and really, you know, being able to work in a team and things like that. So mindset, like you said right at the start, is so important to success. So from your perspective, and you have touched on a few things, what do you think makes up a successful mindset?
The mind is definitely a very powerful thing. And to be a successful mindset, I think it takes a lot of strength. It takes the ability, I think, to be open and like to take on advice, to talk to people when you feel like you need to and not hold it all in, because so many of us athletes are so stubborn and think, oh, we don't need help, we're going to hold it all in. We want to show that we're like strong to the outside, but actually maybe inside we're hurting. It takes, a lot of drive and focus, I think, for that. And yeah, it's also about having good people around you. I think that's the biggest thing, like, because for me, I've been so up and down over the years. Like sometimes I can be really strong-minded, other times my head can completely fall off, and you have your dark times and you have your good times. And as we've talked, like, it's becoming more and more open that or more and more talked about now, people like the mental side of the sport and how many athletes do have issues and stuff like that. And and how they encourage to talk about it, because, you know, the worst thing is if you don't, then you end up depressed, and then we all know how that can go. So it's so many factors, I think, and but it's something that's super important, something that still needs to be talked about a lot. And like I said, it's about just keeping positive people around you, knowing what you need, listening to yourself as well, being honest with yourself, and then, yeah, and when there are times when things aren't quite right, ask yourself why, ask yourself what you need, find the people that you need to talk to, whether it's a site, whether it's friends, whether it's your team, like, and not being afraid to do that. And I think those are all the things that help build it stronger, and then bit by bit build that confidence within yourself, and then be sure about yourself, because I think a lot of it is self-doubt. It's the pressure to perform. It's the telling yourself, thinking yourself that you're not good enough, like, what can you do more, because you're not winning, you're not this, you're not that. Or you win a few races and say you're not good, then you've got the pressure of, like, say, maybe media or other people talking about you, saying, oh, this, that, whatever. So, like, there's so many factors that are trying to, like, push against you to, like, crush you and everything else. But it's, here's just, yeah, surrounding yourself with, like, positive people and good people. And
Yeah, and that's really intriguing. It's hard to imagine that, like, the media, like, I come from a place where people aren't talking about me. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to be on TV, not in the paper. Like, no one's wondering, like, how Tom went, or, you know, really. Do you know what I mean? Like, the public's not wondering or forming an opinion and sharing that and then having that shared around. Like, from your perspective, like, it would be interesting to have both the media there. Then you've got sponsors and commitments to people that you need to do a good job for. Plus, then there's yourself. You want to do a good job for yourself. Plus, then, like you said, there's this massive field of other people who are all, like, elite people, you know, to even be in that group's amazing, but everyone can't win. Everyone can't even position well because there's so many people. And it doesn't, it's probably not even much between the riders, because it could be strategy on the day, mechanical. There's just so many things. There's so many factors that, but then to really imagine that all from your perspective of still just getting out there, doing what you love, and somehow combating all that off, like, it's like a pressure cooker for a great mindset.
Oh, completely. And it's like, I think as athletes, we're our biggest critics, and our, you know, amount of us that, like, bash ourselves up inside, and, you know, it's just like, yeah, like, you like more bad, but you know, they've all gone through it at one point or another, and then suddenly you realize, you take that moment, be like, all right, I just need to step back, I need to breathe, I need to be like, okay, what's going wrong? How do I reset? How do I get back on top of things? And that's the key. It's knowing when you need to be, when you need to make that point and be like, okay, versus, because there are more times which are much more pressure times versus other times when you're more relaxed. And, like, for example, like, either time leading to the Rio Olympics, I was trying to get selection, and, you know, that's always a stressful time because there's so few spots. Everyone wants to represent the country at the Olympics and this, that, whatever. And I started in a really good spot. The performance wasn't there. I just kept bashing myself up. I felt my dream going further and further away, and I'm just like, everything was negative in my head, negative, negative. And I shut people out, pushed people away, wasn't talking, then just got worse and worse and worse. And then in the end, I didn't end up making the team. But it's like, that was just all this pressure I put on myself, even though there wasn't external pressure, but it's just because I wanted something so much, and then it ended up eating me up. And it wasn't until I was just like, took that step back, be like, okay, whatever, it is what it is. Obviously, that's a big goal and the dream, but maybe it's not going to happen this time. But step back, get back to basics, get back to why I love the sport and not why. Because, you know, because if you get too into that negative energy, you end up hating the sport and hating everything about it, and then you sort of forget why you do it in the first place. So it's things like that where, like, you go through those moments, and, as you say, it's like just finding that chance to breathe. And I think that's also really important because, as you say, in that pressure cooker, sometimes it can just be super harsh and super hard. You know.
Yeah, I'm blown away by the honesty and by your vulnerability and being willing to share that, and I'm grateful that we're in a space where we can do that sort of thing, you know, because it is a real thing for people to feel like, you know, I want to keep pushing, I want to do this thing, and it's hard to know when do you, like, because it's like, it's about all being all in and chasing your dreams and fiercely not giving up and, you know, grit and not quitting, and but then sometimes you're like you're saying, you don't want it to consume you, so there's no roadmap. There's no roadmap that says, you know, ding, now is the time to take that step back. You know, so that shows a really mature approach from you to be able to do that, you know, and obviously that's a strategy that's working for you. I'm really glad that that came out.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, like I said, like for me, it's taken a long time to like really learn to be able to like speak and be confident and everything else. But now it's good. It's like when you finally find that balance and know how to deal with everything, it's a really nice feeling. And obviously I've been in the sport for a long time, and now, like, I've got younger teammates within my team and stuff like that, and it's nice that, you know, I've been through all these things and I can then share them with my younger teammates, because if they're going through the same things, like, it's also having people like that, like older people that can help, you know, younger ones that are kind of going through those stages, be able to, like, give back and say, okay, I know exactly what you're going through. I've been there. I've done that. This is how to deal with it. This was my experience. And, yeah, and it's also nice that, like, I feel like I can be able to do that now, which, you know, I haven't always been like this. Like, I've used to be terrible at like expressing myself, express my feelings or anything, like, you know, not giving away anything. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. And that's cool. And so, you know, you've continued to grow. You seem to be able to just put your mind on something and make it happen for the rest of 2019 and perhaps beyond. Do you have any sort of big goals you'd like to share?
Yeah, definitely. Got some very big ones always. So recently we've got the World Championships in Yorkshire. That one's a big goal, because it's a great course. It's going to be a really great race, and yeah, it's one that I definitely want to be in the Australian team for and see what we can do. But for me, it's like the big one is Tokyo. Like, as I was talked about with Rio, I didn't make, and London was very close. And, you know, in my career, I've done a lot. I've raced all the biggest races. You know, I've represented Australia at the Commonwealth Games, been to many World Championships. But the Olympics is the one thing that's really missing, and the one thing that I really want to achieve before I finish my career. So that one's definitely the big goal in the next 18 months. Well, it's even less than that now. It's almost 12 months, 13 months. But, you know, already the process is starting towards selections. And, you know, I'm going to use the experience and everything that I've had from both the times going for selection in London and both Rio to hopefully get it right next time round. And as I talked about before, you know, it's hard. Like, there's a lot of competition for the spots and this, that, but, you know, give it my best. I've already gone and seen the course, and so I know what I need to do to try and be there, and it's just about me staying switched on and focused and having the right people around me. So that's definitely the big goal, to be there in Tokyo next year. But then along the way, getting back on top, like, I've been through probably a couple of years where I've been a bit more plateaued in terms of results, like maybe lost a bit of my hunger for certain aspects of the sport, but kind of I found my love again. And you know, like, I've been probably playing much more of a support role the last couple of years. But I want to get back to, you know, being back on the podium, back winning some races and get that feeling of victory again. So for myself personally, like, not just, like, it's lovely to be part of team races and see my teammates win and stuff like that, because also that's quite special. But still, you know, I've got that drive and hunger to win things as well. So that's also the goal, to kind of really get back that side of performance. And yeah, so
there's nice. I like it, just the thought of being able to go to an Olympics, you know. Just that must be so amazing. And I suppose at the same time I can understand the emotion of being so close and perhaps not making it there last time. So you know, hopefully this is the time for you. But yeah, just to think that you're just on the, you know, on the cusp, like, you very well, you could even have a medal hanging around your neck, you know, in not too distant a future. Do you know, like, that's exciting to see that you have that level of skill and ability that you can go on and represent. And you, as you're sort of talking, I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, it's not always about achieving your best. I think I kind of get the feeling it's more so about giving your best. Like, if you turn up and you go to the, you know, the first Olympics, Rio, and you try and it doesn't, but you gave your best, you didn't achieve your best, it didn't work out, it, you know, you can walk away and go, oh, geez, I would have liked it to have been X, or if it was my best, that would have been great. But I know I gave all that I had. And again, for this, you know, if you give all you have and that's enough to get you in, whether it gets you a medal or not, I think there's a real secret recipe of just giving your best every time. Would you agree?
Oh, completely. You know, like, at the end of the day, we give up so much, or we don't really give up, but it's like you put so much into what you're doing every day and want to give your best. So it's like those times when you're not really giving it or doing it half-heartedly, it's like, is it really worth it? When, you know, like, all the sacrifices and the long days, the long training days, like, often you see these pictures where it's like people only see the top part of their success but don't see all the things below the iceberg. And, mm-hmm. you know, and when you aren't giving fully committed, it's kind of like, oh, kind of like, all right, let's get things back together. And because, you know, that's what we're all striving for. We want this success. And it's like building that and having that, you know, that motivation. It's like giving it our all, because also not in the sport for forever, as we talked about earlier. It's like, so you want to give it all. The time is short. So you've got to make the most of it, because you don't want to finish your career with regrets, being like, oh, what if I didn't do this, this, this? Could have I gone even better? Like, you want to be able to finish your career and say, yes, I gave it everything. I made the most of every single opportunity and achieved everything that I wanted to achieve in the sport.
Wow. It's nice to hear that you've reconnected with the love that you have for the sport. You know, I would be interested to hear from your perspective, you know, for people that are looking to get into, you know, endurance sports, and it very well could be cycling. It seems that you just have a love for being active, but cycling, you know, very, very talented. So for people coming into the sport, what would three tips from your perspective be?
I would say, coming into sport, definitely never be afraid to ask questions. I promise. Do it because you love it, not because you feel you need to do it, and just enjoy the ride.
Oh, I like them. They're good. That's good. Because, you know, you ask questions and there's someone else like you there that's, you know, basically already gone through all the pitfalls you have, and they're just waiting to unload. They're happy to pass on, like you said. I really love that. Getting out there and doing it. Yes, and obviously just loving it. Just loving it. The passion coming through, you know, while you're chatting is just really, really remarkable and very lovely, I have to say. Some great tips there. You know, I see that you're working with a few brands at the moment. I love the kits. Is it your racing kit that you wear? Some pretty fancy looking outfits. But who are you working with at the moment?
Yeah, so we're super lucky that with our team, so it's Canyon Trail Racing is the team, and then we have our clothing partner is Rapper, which is a company out of the UK, cycling power company, and, you know, it's such an amazing brand to work with, because they've got, like, really, really talented designers, and we've been lucky that, yeah, we get to have really beautiful-looking kits. You know, they've always had striking designs and want to be more known for the design versus being classed in a bunch of sponsors, and just having the necessary sponsors on the kit, and then the rest is just, you know, so the team's known for our look. And yeah, every so often we do like special edition kits, like recently at the women's tour in the UK. Every year Rafa do this event called the Rafa 100, Women's 100, and it's about encouraging more women to get on bikes to try and ride 100K, because, you know, for a lot of people that's quite far and quite intimidating. And obviously, you know, the sport for a long time has been very male dominated. So as part of our side of sport, we want to inspire more women in particular to get on bikes and to enjoy what's so great about it. So anyway, So with that, they do a kit for it every year. So then they use us to help promote it. And so we got this really, really beautiful kit where we changed everything for this one race, and bright and colourful. And yeah, and then as well, I've done a collaboration with them before of doing our own kit of, like, it was based on like the sunrise and the sunset and things like that. So we did like a very small limited edition capsule collection, which we then sold, things like that. So they're really forward-thinking company, not only design-based but also looking for the highest technology and highest quality fabrics, and, you know, making sure that what they're selling to the people, they're also giving to us, and are field-tested, you know, in the races, and can handle all the demands of all the weather conditions and everything else that we have to deal with.
It sounds pretty cool, and you know I wonder who you might have looked up to when you were a kid, but like now, you know, you are the one inspiring, you know, young women everywhere, and potentially young men as well, but, you know, young people everywhere to get into the sport, you know, and they can see the love that you have for it, and they see what you're able to achieve, and then you're looking cool, you know, and because that's, you know, fashion's a bit part of it as well, and it's nice to see that you're really going out of your way to give back and, you know, purposefully, you know, inspiring so many.
Yeah, it is nice when you think about it, because sometimes I kind of forget that and be like, oh, you know, whatever, and then, you know, you get to meet some of the young fans and you're like, oh, yeah, it's nice. I remember when I was that person, and, you know, you remember how big a deal it was. Like, oh, my God, they're like the person that I've been following for a long time and this, that. And, you know, like, at the end of the day, I'm still just a very normal person, very grounded, level-headed, this, that. But, you know, when you can see a smile on someone's face and know that it means so much to them if they, like, get to meet you or have a photo, and then you're like, yeah, it's really nice if you can, as you say, give that little bit back and know how much it can mean to them, because we've all been there. And, you know, and, like, if it can just make one person that little bit more happy, then it's nice to be in the position we can do that. And, yeah. Yeah, so
I love it. I love it. Love it. You're just like radiating positivity. This has been like such a fun catch up. Yeah. For people that are you know, listening to this and you know, want to follow along in your journey, you know, I see that I've got a website there, but did you want to share like your website and your social media handles where people could follow along?
Yeah, definitely. So obviously I have my website, it's tiffanycromwell.cc. Not necessarily always sort of most up to date, but I try to like give it for a bit of, you know, bit of news here and there, put some recipes of some things that I took, I'm bit by bit doing a coffee journal, and so there's some fun stuff on there, some like design stuff as well, and then I have Instagram and Twitter, they're both at Tiffany Cromwell, and then also a fan page on Facebook, which I think is Tiffany Cromwell Cyclist. So plenty of ways to follow along, and yeah, always love to hear from people and try to be interactive too, because you know, it's nice when you hear from people who are following the journey.
Yeah.
Those guys, we also don't have sport, and we don't have, yeah, we love, part of what makes a sport great is the supporters and the fans and everything else.
Oh, I love it. I love it. This has been so good. Oh, my gosh. I've had such a great time catching up. I want to just say a massive, massive, massive thank you for taking the time, Tiffany.
Pleasure. Great to chat to you too.